speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, there's nothing greater that you and I can do in life than to be a Christian. As we become a Christian, the Bible tells us that our sins are remitted, that they are forgiven in Christ. And whenever our sins are forgiven in Christ, then we are counted as a child of God. And as a child of God, as we've already mentioned, God has an eternal reward prepared for us in heaven. But also, whenever we look in regard to the ways in which God blesses us here in this life, good people, we are of all men most certainly blessed. All spiritual blessings, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, are in Jesus Christ. And some of those blessings are in relation to the relationships that we have here as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ whom we love as well as to be loved by. And also, though, God tells us that some of the blessings that we are able to engage in with one another is the times of fellowship that we get together in and to share and to enjoy one another. But another very vital part of that is the times that we are able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as those who are children of God, to worship our God in spirit and in truth, to receive instruction from His inspired Word, to edify us, to instruct us in regard to the way in which we must and should live our life, but also then to glorify our God and to exalt Him in the way in which He is deserving of being exalted. Another very important part of our life and relationship as Christians is praying unto God. We sometimes will sing about praying to God. We've sang from time to time that song wherein that ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And that instructs us that we need certainly to begin every single day with prayer. But you and I know as Christians, as what the Bible tells us, that not only should we pray to God in the morning, we should pray to God continually throughout the course of our day, throughout the course of every week, throughout the entirety of our life. We sing about praying to God and we hear lessons about praying to God. And inevitably, I have people say from time to time to me, they ask and say, Kevin, are my prayers getting through? They want to know if God is hearing their prayers, but I think more specifically, not only is God hearing my prayers, but are my prayers getting through to the point where God is listening intently to my prayers and is He going to answer my prayers? And sometimes we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are living their life faithful before God and they look to themselves and they say that they are inadequate. They feel as if they are not holy enough in the sight of God. And truth be told, none of us are able to measure up with God. But yet at the same time, if we are living faithful before God, walking in the light as He is in the light, then the Scripture tells us that most certainly we have fellowship with God, and God then hears our prayers. But yet at the same time, I will say that some people who ask that question, they have examined their life and they see that there are things that are amiss in their life, and because of that, then they know that God is not listening in favor to the prayers that they are offering up in whatever form or fashion in their life. We are first given some biblical instructions in regard to prayer, and in the context of what we think about Jesus Christ, the Scripture very clearly tells us that prayer played a very vital role in the life and teachings of our Lord. Jesus Christ pre-existed in heaven with God as God, and yet at the same time, whenever He came to this world, the people, He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant. He took upon Himself the form of flesh, of humanity. And the Scripture identifies to us concerning Jesus that while He was here, He existed as 100% mankind. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, the Hebrews writer exclaims in saying that in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus Christ was 100% man while He lived here. And good people, Jesus faced the multiple ways in which you and I are tempted. Also, He faced the multiple things that you and I go through in life from a physical standpoint, wherein that we grow weary, we tire over the course of a day. And Jesus was like that, and our Lord needed strength on a continual basis so that He would be able to go through the temptation, so that He would be able to regain or to refresh throughout the course of His life. And He was always praying to God that God the Heavenly Father would listen to his prayers and that God would give him strength and guidance to be able to endure, to be able to go through all that he faced during the time that he was here. But also, as Jesus was getting ready to depart from this life, good people, the Scripture very clearly tells us that Jesus prayed for himself. But not only did he pray for himself, in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 21, he also prayed for the apostles, for the disciples even that were in his midst, those that he had gained. And he prayed for these individuals that they would live in the world, but yet at the same time that they would not live like the world, that they would have the influence upon the world rather than the world tearing them down. And then the Scripture tells us in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, that he prayed for you and me, those who would eventually believe on his name, that we would be one in him as he is in the Father for the sake of the world, that the world might believe that he is indeed the Son of God. Prayer was very important to Jesus. And as the apostles, the disciples of the first century looked to Christ, they saw how important prayer was to him. And they were extremely impressed with the ways that he prayed, as well as, I believe, the frequency in which he prayed unto our Heavenly Father. And in that then, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus did that in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. He taught them concerning the essentiality of prayer. He taught them concerning the seriousness that they need to approach the Father in as they would bow in prayer. And he taught them also that they needed to pray concerning practical matters that they would come in contact with each and every day of their life. But good people, also he instructed them as he was getting ready to depart to die at Calvary's cross and then to ascend into heaven. He says that until this time you have not asked anything in my name, but in that day, he was pointing to that time that he would be resurrected from the grave by the power and the glory of God and go in to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God to rule and to reign on high. He says, in that day, you will ask in my name unto the Father. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 25, 23 through 24. In that day, you will ask in my name and it will be done. So he instructed these individuals not only of the need to pray, but he instructed these people concerning the way that they must pray unto our God. You know, God wants you and me as Christians today to pray continually every single day. We communicate with people in life and we talk with people that we work with, that we come in contact with, whether we know them or not. Sometimes we will even speak to strangers that we meet out on the street and such. And we have those little things on the side of our hip anymore that's called a cell phone. And we're always on the cell phone speaking with people or we're sending messages, texting and things of that nature. We're sending out emails. And why do we do that? Well, we do that in order to be able to communicate with our fellow man. And even much more so, we ought to communicate with our God every single day. Our God wants us to speak to Him, not to speak at Him, but rather to speak to Him in a very personal and private way. And our God, in doing that, identifies that this is called prayer. We pray unto our Heavenly Father. He communicates to us through His inspired Word, and He works with us and through us continually through the creation that He has set up. And God says that in return, you and I ought to aspire to, and that you and I ought to understand the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility that we have to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer on a continual basis while we are here in this world. And the Scripture also tells us very clearly, good people, that as Christians, our prayers are effectual. Well, what does that word effectual mean? It means that if we live the type of life that God commands us to live, that they are effective, that God listens intently to us, and that God works in our favor for those who are walking according to His will. And as He works in favor for us, He's also working those things out according to His divine will. And that is a very important matter for us to understand. How does the context of James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 fit into all of this? If you look to James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, these individuals were at war with one another. They had this unity in and amongst the brethren there in the church of which he was speaking to and the individuals within their life and what was going on. I think that if we consider the greater context as to what we have already looked at in this series out of James, we will understand is that these individuals had a problem with their mouth. They were saying things that they should not say. They were doing things that they ought not do. Maybe they were involved in gossip. Maybe they were involved in backbiting and things of that nature. And as we look to that, I believe that James is bringing out that those who war against one another is that their life is filled with all kinds of hatred and ungodliness. In fact, what was the root of all that? In James chapter 4, also in verse 1, he brings out is that they were filled with selfish pride. They had pride and arrogance in their life. Their life was all about themselves and the things that would make them happy and what would make those individuals happy as they would look to pleasing themselves and living in a world that was offering them everything at their disposal if they would just go after it. Good people, their lives were not only wrapped around themselves, their lives would have been wrapped around worldliness. They were living away from God and they were living according to the world that God tells us that we are not to love. The things that are in the world, nor the world itself. Why? Because the world is passing away. He goes on, though, in the context to say that they did not have certain things, not because God was not working in their life, but because they did not ask. Because they felt as if they were going to be able to accomplish things on their own. Because they were filled with that pride and because they felt as if, you know, life is good and as long as life is good and the economy's well, then I don't have to worry about asking God because I'm able to get it myself or somebody else is going to give it to me. They did not have because they did not turn to God and ask God for the things, the blessings that He promises all people that He will bestow upon us. But also the Scripture tells us they ask and they did not receive because they ask amiss. Well, what does it mean to ask amiss? They did not ask in accordance to our God's divine will. I remember a time whenever I was about 16 or 17 years of age and I was a young Christian and yet at the same time I knew concerning the importance of prayer, but I did not understand the seriousness of what prayer was all about. For all sense and purpose, lived in the world, but my life was not totally amiss, but yet at the same time, my mindset was wrapped in and around the world. And as I look back to that prayer that I offered, I prayed that God would bless me with a wonderful job, that I would be able to have all kinds of money, and that I, in turn then, would be able to buy a brand new pickup truck. That's what we want, guys, isn't it? To be able to buy a brand new, nice, fancy pickup truck and to have a nice fishing boat to be able to pull behind it. And I even prayed that God would give me a nice, big, fancy two-story home with a basement under it. And of course, being from Indiana, that it would have a concrete basketball court out on the backyard. You know, I never got that. I did get a beautiful wife and a wonderful family, and that was also a part of my prayer. Some years later, at the age of 36, when we were completing our studies at the school, I prayed for spiritual riches. And I prayed that God would bless me and my family with an opportunity to serve in His kingdom under a great leadership, eldership, and with a wonderful congregation. And good people, that prayer was answered, most certainly whenever we came here to East End. We ask sometimes and receive not because we ask amiss. And as long as we live our lives in a spiritual way towards our God listens to our prayer and God will answer our prayers. But yet at the same time, sometimes prayers do not go through. And what would be some reasons as to why prayer would not go through? Sometimes it may be because an individual is lacking true righteousness in their life. And what is righteousness? It is that which is right. And it's not in consideration to that which is right according to man's standards in any sense of the imagination as God would use right or righteousness, but rather it is according to the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is that God is righteous in a holy and upright manner. And God calls upon you and me as Christians to make certain that we live our lives according to that same standard and in that same direction of righteousness so that our relationship with God will be right, but also in such a way so that our prayers will be able to be heard by God in a favorable way. Yes, I'm very much aware that God hears, knows, sees, understands all things, but yet for those who are not living in a righteous way, God does not listen to their prayers in a favorable manner. But yet, as you and I look to living in a righteous way, we need to also understand that it's more than just doing those things that are right. Why? Because in that it might become legalistic, and therefore we must love God to the level that God commands us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in and a part of that, also when we think in regard to righteousness, as we be pleasing and acceptable to God, it would mean that we live our lives in a humble and contrite manner before God and before our fellow man each and every day. And when we do, then by all means we stand as righteous before God, and God would hear our prayers. Sometimes prayers do not go through simply because they have an inadequate amount of faith. And God tells us that those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And as I've looked to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, which is where that's drawn out of, and that's paraphrased the way in which I've delivered it tonight before your hearing, I've always looked to that those who come to God in obedience to Jesus Christ, the good people, I believe, as I consider it in a broader context, is that it's any way that we would come before God. Yes, most certainly, whenever we put Christ on in baptism, but every facet of our life, including prayer, that as we pray to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. And as we look at that, certainly we need to make certain that as we increase our faith, that it is increased according to the knowledge of God's Word. But it's more than increasing our knowledge of God's Word. It's knowing what God says concerning our life, and that He will indeed listen to our prayers and answer our prayers. But it's also trusting in Him to follow through. And sometimes people don't have faith whenever they ask God. They ask Him doubting whether or not He's going to do things. And good people, we shouldn't expect a positive response whenever we ask in doubt. We need to ask trusting in God. And sometimes it doesn't mean that He's going to answer immediately. It does not mean that He's going to answer in favor to what we're asking. But rather, He will give us what it is according to His will and according to His divine time as He sees fit in our individual lives. But then sometimes people, their prayers are not answered, or they're not going through because of an improper treatment of family. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says that the husband has a huge responsibility upon himself to love his wife and to treat his wife in the way in which he is commanded to, but also in a way that she is deserving of. Why should he do that? Because if he wants to be right with God, then that's important. But also if he wants his wife to know that he really and truly loves her, as he maybe once told her that he did, or that he maybe will continually express before her, he's got to treat her right so that she understands the love that he has, and in like figure she ought to do likewise. But you know, Peter tells us there through the context of Scripture, he also adds into the equation so that your prayers will not be hindered. You see, if we do not treat our wife, and even beyond that, if we do not treat our family the way in which we ought to treat them, then it severs a relationship with God, and therefore our prayers will not be able to go through. And as we think about treating our spouse and our family the way that they are deserving of, and that God commands us, we ought to also keep in mind our prayer life if we want to be able to get through unto our Heavenly Father. But then again, as we think in regard to what things that might hinder our being able to pray to God and God listening and answering our prayers, sometimes people are unwilling to forgive others. And the Scripture very clearly tells us that if we want to receive the forgiveness of God, then we've got to be forgiving people. And yet, I understand very clearly that sometimes people do us wrong. Sometimes people will misuse us and abuse us, and in that we will feel as if the world has caved in on us. But still at the same time, good people, God tells us that we've got to have a forgiving spirit and a forgiving heart Why? Because that's the nature that we see in regard to God. Think about the number of times that we sin against God, whether it's knowingly or even out of ignorance. But still at the same time, whenever we come back in God, we say to God, God, I've messed up. God, please forgive me. As a Christian, we know that God forgives us of all unrighteousness. And the blood of Christ continually cleanses us to be right before His sight. And if our God is like that, the Scripture tells us that we also ought to forgive one another. 70 times 7. I believe if I'm doing the math right in my head right now, that's 490 times. Somebody will correct me if that's wrong. And that does not mean that whenever we reach that 490th time that that's it. But rather that we are always ready and willing to forgive people. And whenever we do then that helps us to be able to pray to God for God to forgive us and for God to hear us and to work amazing things in our lives. You know, praying to God is very important. And as we think about praying to God, we must begin with a relationship with God. And God extends an invitation every single day of our lives for those who have things that are amiss in their life, for those who are not Christians. And tonight I tell you that those who are alien sinners, they cannot pray to God for forgiveness. Why? Because there's not a sinner's prayer in the Bible where that those who are in sin, initially if you would, that is a way that they can be forgiven. Well, how is it that God commands individuals to become one of His children? Every soul must obey Christ in baptism. Every single soul must come to God in the same way. And that way, according to the Scripture, is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to make that verbal confession. And in making that verbal confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then they submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But what about individuals who are in Christ? And they've walked away, they're living like the world, they're in that point to where we would say that they're an erring brother and sister in Christ. First, let me say to those of us who are striving to live right, as those who are righteous in the sight of God, we have a responsibility to go to our brothers and sisters and seek to restore them. And in that then, whenever they are brought to their knees, if you would, whenever they are brought to that recognition that they have violated the law of God and that they have separated themselves once again from God, then you and I are able to pray for them. And God then will restore them in our prayers for them in a public way, as the Scripture so clearly says. Tonight, if you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you with His call.